This morning we're hosting Ingmarie and Tom from Water Group, and the talk will be, of course, about water. Tom, there are numbers of past year, especially the northeast monsoon, and we still didn't reach the average, right?
Yeah, we are, I would say, 25% short of the average. Mm. And following a year in 2017 when we had just the average, and the year before we got half the average. So it's kind of a deficit piling up in a context of increasing and inflating extraction of groundwater. So, yeah. Of course, our concern is mainly about groundwater, because in Auroville, this is the only source that we tap for the time being.
Mm. So, past 2 years, there was no attempts to collect the rainwater?
Well, no particular, maybe some individual attempts of people who are getting into the mood, but we are lagging. I mean, we are far behind where we should be in terms of rainwater harvesting. I mean, people will have to understand the importance and the key role that it will play in our future in terms of water management.
Hmm. So the summer ahead of us would be scarcity of water, right?
Well, we don't know, because you see, with what they call the climate change, but definitely the meteo is not as regular as it was, even though to have dry years was always. Mm. I mean, I did not go through we have in Water Group what was collected by people in the past. That means nearly a century of data of rainfall. Mm. And that shows you that you had a large excess and large minus.
Yeah.
So it was always. Now, what is important is how do you deal with that? How do you cope with it? You know, how flexible is your overall water management?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we try to build at the Water Group, this sense of a water-sensitive city.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's something fundamental that everybody in the city understands, that opening a tap doesn't mean that you have a free flow of water and that it will always be like that. I mean, we have to adjust our comfort zone constantly. And for that, you need to have a brain, a kind of a central reflection point where people can feedback to you information to adjust your living.
Our city is also, the status of water and also the rainfall is different in different regions, right? We are diverse.
Yes, even locally.
What might fail in south is not the same as on north or east.
For example, if I take the data I have of the 2018 rainfall, you can note that in Bahour, that is 40 kilometers away from us, just north of Cuddalore, they got 1,271.
Which is like an average, yeah?
But I would have to verify what is their average.
Oh.
You see, average is local.
Mm-hmm.
And their local rainfall, 1,271. But I have Orodam at 922.
Mm-hmm.
I have Charlie at 966, Botanical at 876, but I'm afraid something might be missing, I don't know. I would have to check with Santo. And the Annapurna, for example, 1,135, which
Annapurna
is next to Vanur. So that means it's, I think it's about 7-8 kilometers from the center or something like that. It's all microclimate.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at within Auroville, we have a certain evenness, because but even though, I mean, like if you take Charlie 966 and Ravenna 1090, there is not much difference. I mean, Gaia's Garden at 1071, Dana at 1035, Dipanam School at 1048.
Hmm.
So basically, when we say Auroville got 1,000, roughly speaking. very little more than 1,000 millimeters of rain for 2018. So this is where we have. But as you know, I am monitoring daily the water situation in Dana.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it as an exercise to develop my understanding on people's behavior and aquifer behavior, how to match the two. And what I see is that after the rain, we had a very nice rain in, early December or late November. But in one day, we got nearly 15 centimeters.
Yeah, that was always there.
And then a few days later, I saw the water table suddenly rising. And we came up to 16, something like that, meter below ground level.
Mm-hmm.
But today, yesterday, we were down to 29.40 again.
Mm-hmm.
So that means in a month, we already lost more than 2 meters of the water.
Groundwater.
Of the, at the static level.
Mm-hmm.
The yield is still somehow better than in summer, because in summer I was having a pump output of 2,600 liters an hour, and a few days ago I was at 3,800 liters per hour.
Mm.
But when the water table went up, I went up to 4,900 liters per hour. That means the aquifers were more, giving more water. There was more replenishment, there was more flow to the pump. Mm. So these are technical details, I understand. I mean, and people might get lost with that, but just for them to know that it's part of our work at the Water Group to try to develop this understanding and to collect all this information, pile them up so that it's available for people to ponder over it, you know, like to try to understand. And maybe some people can come with another understanding of the situation. And I mean, we invite people. Giulio and his team of Geomatic, for example, they are trying to put all this on a GIS so that you have the spatial, the time, whatever, in order to also get an understanding. And of course, what they try to do is to get a very rich database that would be open source, so that people can access to it and retrieve information from it, and then, work on it.
Mm. How many people do measure the rainfall in Oroville?
I think we have about a dozen total.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have people who are more discreet and who have done it for a long time, like Walter of Shakti, Francis of Recueillement.
Mm.
And, but you see, like, personally, I would invite people to join the club, if I may say, of the rain lovers, you know. Mm. And there was that, Tensi, one time he put something, Meteo Lovers or something like that, I don't remember, but it was really, some people who like to follow the meteo. I mean, it's better than to play cards, and it's better than to play poker or whatever, because you cannot gamble, but it's always nature. Full of surprise.
It's nature, no?
New idea that I'm toying with is, because again, we are falling in the trap, that's a personal opinion, of making everything look like scientific. And it's fine, because a scientific approach gives a certain rigor to the thing, give a certain frame, a certain stability.
And gives the facts, no?
No emotions. But at the same time, what I would like is to develop what I would call, a bit in the line of what I just said, people's monitoring. People monitoring. That means have people try to, through very small instrumentation or observation, monitor their situation so that they do understand the link between what they get, what they need, and the availability of that resource. Because it's, you see, we have done an experience in the past with harvest, when we distributed rain gauges in the villages. And we also gave them a rope with a small nut attached to it and a thermometer mini-maxi. The game was that one or two youth from the village would monitor that thing. And there was a board next to the tea shop where the results of the day would be written. Yeah. And people would come to see it. You know, it was their newspaper. It was their reference point. You know, they could follow themselves, the evolution. And imagine in a tea shop, the discussions could go on.
About the water.
You cannot monitor rain all the time. Mm. I know some people were interested in dew. Dew, even though very minute, I mean, it's not a big flow you can expect, particularly in our region. We have dew, and some people were interested to try to harvest it, but it's a bit dormant. Mm. But rain, temperature, I know Guy, who stays in Fertile, wants to do some research on meteorology. And this is very important. So that I hope one day we have these courses in our education patterns. Mm. Because you see, all this can lead to education.
Recently I saw a device, it's like a tent, which collect the condens in the desert and thus actually give the water something. Mm. And I was also thinking, because I know that our humidity is most of the time above 80%, and it was also, my thought was, how we can harvest that?
There are two ways. I mean, one is, I would say, natural. That means you offer to the natural conditions surfaces or nets in order to trap that condensation. I mean, you offer places where these droplets of humidity will attach and then condense and form drops that will trickle down and then be harvested.
I know that 60%, if I'm not mistaken, 60% of our water we use goes for our gardens, no?
Yes, something like that.
So we could harvest that, and then the stability of water, I mean, it would be more stable, no?
It depends. You see, it's a little more complex because we are talking of a urban context. I mean, we are talking of a city in the making. And it's something that some places, like apartments, cannot harvest much dew. Yeah. When you are in the green belt, of course, you are having a natural context much larger and much richer. It's always different. So that's why this dew issue for the time being, and I wanted to say also that there is another approach which is more technical, mechanical, which is like a condenser, generate a condenser, which is a bit like an air conditioner. Everybody knows that an air conditioner, there is a pipe to evacuate the dripping of the condensation. So in these condensers, this element of condensation is aggravated by technical means, by power will produce more water. And it's something that works even in desert area, in everywhere. Mm-hmm. But the problem that we know for certain is the energy consumption is high. Mm-hmm. Because you need, most of the time, you need a compressor. Enfin, for the technology, I know, there might be more technologies, but you need a compressor and you need... So, for example, recently they have changed the air condition of the multimedia center, no? Mm-hmm. So I managed to recover the old air conditioner. For the time being, it is stored in Abri, safely stored. And we hope one day... There was a guy, and I saw him the other day on a motorbike, who was supposed to work on it. And but he left for personal reasons, and I saw him back, and I hope he's back, because then I'm going to put him back on that project, I hope.
Oh, from that air condition to develop the
condenser? Yeah, from that air condition, develop a condenser.
Oh, cool. That sounds interesting. But as you said, it's going to spend quite a lot of electricity, right?
Yes. Mm. And so now that was for the condensation, the dew and all that. So I would personally go back to rainwater harvesting because it's something where we need to have teams of people working on it. It can be individuals, it can be technicians, it can be engineers, it can be whoever, you know. But the idea is to harvest this rain that falls on our ville. So this year, I don't know if we could evaluate very much the runoff out of the plateau. Personally, I did not see much runoff. The rain was scarce, so whatever fell went.
It's percolated down there.
Percolation was not so much.
No?
No, because percolation needs certain conditions. First, you need an initial wetting of the land in order to neutralize the electrostatic of the topsoil. And once the electrostatic is neutralized, then water can trickle down. But it takes time also for water to travel.
Okay, now I'm a little bit puzzled. I mean, where the rain went?
Oh, you know.
Only on the top?
Yes, sometimes you have, you see, if you look at the rainfall, you see some 2 millimeters, 5 millimeters, 10 millimeters. You see, there was a moment during that year when we got 30 millimeters, which is only 3 centimeters.
Yeah.
And we were so happy, man, we got 3 centimeters. But that's nothing.
That's
a problem.
That's why you measure in millimeters, that sounds more, no?
And,
but I think it was one day, it was close to 90 millimeters. So
yeah, 90 millimeters is good. Because then if you have the adequate storage to give time for that water to trickle down, then that's good. It might eventually reach down. But you see, what I observed in Dana, for example, if you compare your water levels with the geology that we have, you see that the top aquifer, the Kedalor sandstone, I think people know now what is Kedalor sandstone, that red soil. The Kedalor sandstone was totally empty.
Why?
Because the Kedalor sandstone, like in the case of Dana, finishes at, if I'm correct, 29 meters. And our water level was at 32 or whatever meters. So when we got recently to 27 meters, that means I had 2 meters of water in the Kedalor sandstone. But now I am again at 29-30. That means whatever water was in the Kedalor sandstone has been already utilized during a certain time frame of, let's say, 2 months. So during these 2 months, we had water in the Kedalor sandstone. But the intention would be to have to recharge as much as we can when it rains, of course, to maintain water in that Kedalor sandstone. Because it's a good storage. Only problem is that
We cannot control the weather, we cannot control the rainfall. I mean, it's
no, like we can help.
We
can help. I mean, we know that.
We want to artificially induce the rainfall? Or what do you mean?
No, you have different ways of recharging an aquifer. From the rain, and you can also do it from recycled water.
Oh, okay.
Which is also something. So,
I have another question for you, because I think at the end it's always going to be about the human factor. Is it community more sensitive regarding the water, or we are still on, if it's running, let's use it?
Well, you see, there I would say, my feeling is that there is a growing awareness, even though it's a bit feeble. I mean, it's not so massive. But you can say that, you see, I have my side office at PTDC, for example. That means when I go to do my shopping, almost every time somebody will come to me to ask me something about water, about rainfall, about plumbing, about where can I find this, is it true that, all kind of things come like this, which leads us to communication, you know, in a certain way, that is really fundamental in this thing. Because if I read your question, it's, do you think awareness is growing? I would say yes, but we have, from our side, and we are aware at the water service, and I mean, I can ask Ingmarie to comment on that, but because she's our focal point on communication. And now she, maybe you can explain it.
You're gonna join in?
No, it's important.
You were doing great. It's just, I think it's a feeling that there's a lot more to be done, right? Mm. I mean, I think it, there's a lot of potential there. So we'd like to, I think my personal take is that energy has been relatively low in the water group as of late, and we want to kind of restart and re-energize that that feeling of energy. So, yeah, a lot more to do.
Yeah. What is your personal feeling about, you know, how community perceives those issues? Or the community will wake up when we will have a serious water cuts?
Yeah, what will prompt people into action is a good question. If it's a crisis mode, we hope not, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of finger-pointing in this community, frankly speaking. Oh, but what about them? And, oh, they're doing that. And I think there's not, frankly speaking, a lot of responsibility that people take around their water. So I'd like to see that shift, you know? And I really think that what Tom said about making it personal, you know, get out there with your water, your rain gauges and learn about what's coming out of the sky. Learn about these patterns. Learn about the state of the aquifers as much as you can. The more personal it becomes, I think the more people feel empowered to then, you know, reflect on their own usage. Mm. So a lot of steps in there. And obviously communication and education are huge. And part of that is also how to build that team further. Human resources are, you know, funding or kind
but of... But it still will come to each of us, no?
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
At the end of the day.
Regarding that, are there any measurements already in Lavenir when somebody's building new structures to impose the, let's say, mandatory rain harvest?
Mm. No, there was, with the previous TDC, interim TDC, an attempt... Mm-hmm. To redesign a bit the building application form, at least for the, I think, question 42 and so on, 42 ABC, whatever, to give an emphasis on wastewater treatment, mm-hmm. wastewater harvesting, and water management in general. And... after that, the new group came in existence, and we kept trying to have this. What was our question was to have these application forms come to us for an evaluation so that we could advise. See, we were not trying to become the cops of the water in Auroville, but mainly advisors, since we took our role as to focus knowledge, focus intelligence, or focus, how to say, understanding and all these things. Because people, we are not expecting everybody to do that at home. On certain issues, and you are not building your house every day, no?
No.
But you are experimenting it every day. So when you build it, it's good to have the maximum knowledge about water and all that. So... in Auroville, now we have these, these big, larger projects coming up. So some people, some architects, you can feel that they have a very sound understanding of these, I don't want to give name, but I see some projects where the architect is really trying his or her level best to integrate all these knowledge that is presently available.
Because in the beginning of monsoon, northeast monsoon, I had an opportunity to talk to Kirit, and actually he's the only person I know that before he built the house, he built the rainwater collector, the tank under. Mm. And he's watering his garden, which is beautiful and really lush, with that water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, plus all the work he has done in the canyon.
No, but he really, before he built the structure, he built a water tank for the rainwater harvesting to collect it from
Turia did also the same thing.
I think Danny and Susan also did in Verite.
But there's only few individuals, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's also a question that if you have access to capital, it makes it more easy for you, no? Yeah, because storage, in this case, if you want to store the water statically, is costly.
It's a water tank, yeah? At least 1,000 liters, no? Somewhere there.
Oh, no, no, you need... you see, one time I made a research for Bharat Nivas, and I needed a tank of 320 cubic meters. No, more than that. This approach to rainwater harvesting is difficult because it's very much cost intensive. Mm. And so that's, and also it's an approach that is, for example, in Assam or in certain areas where you get very good yearly spread of your rain. You know, how do you call that? A rainfall pattern, no? Mm. So that means you always have fresh water coming into your cistern, and then you can use that water for domestic purpose, for anything, because rains are coming very regularly.
That is a different thing. Yeah.
And in our seasonal pattern, it's difficult. It's difficult because your cistern, we, for example, here in the town hall, you have a huge rainwater harvesting system that is not utilized.
Where it is?
Hey, where is it? Nobody knows.
I mean, I'm really curious now.
It's opposite to Morgan, more or less.
Oh, you mean that cleaning tank for the
No, there is a system for the cleaning water.
Yeah.
And there is a storage that harvests all the rains from the rooftops. From this rooftop, from the multimedia, from...
Wouldn't it be great to have sort of... tours or groups, you know, that you take around Oroville and just do rainwater harvesting tours? It would be so exciting,
yeah, of course.
No, in terms of communication.
It's also experience and examples. Okay, it can be done. I get to know that vernacular architecture of Tamil culture with the inner courtyard, they also, those who had enough means, because you, before you start digging, you have to put the water tank underneath. And in the middle, it's always like a gutter.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the rainwater which was collected for the uses of in the household.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have a lot of literature available about traditional water harvesting, for example, like in Rajasthan, or like recently Luca sent us these photos of these big open wells, you know, that were built by kings.
Mm.
Beautiful because the kings could afford to put all the people carving stone statues, and when the Apsara had the water up to the belly, it was a sign of the something. But if the water would go up... No, I mean, I'm
joking.
You're talking
about the columns in or those big ponds, these pools in temples? These were rainwater harvesting?
Yeah, this is all rainwater harvesting.
Mm.
You see, for example, let's take ourselves to farming. This year, in spite of a poor rainfall and in spite of a falling water table, I'm talking of Annapurna, where we have a water level at 90 plus meter below ground level. In the summer, we went down to 96. But I met Thomas the other day, and he was very happy because his ponds were full. You see the famous 15 centimeter, and also we saw that Annapurna got 1,135 mm, and they got a good runoff, and so he could fill up his ponds. So he has his crop of rice guaranteed.
Mm.
So this is, for example, an example that we plan, I would say, but for that we need a fresh team because I'm getting old.
Marie, she got already offspring.
Yeah. But let's say to invite the people, like for example, there is a young guy called Selvam starting a new farm behind a Buddha garden on the Edayan Chavadi side, and he's already planning to have these harvesting ponds, you know.
Yeah.
And a Murti of Ayar Paddy Farm, he told me the other day that he wants to sacrifice. And the thumb rule is 10% of your land you put as a pond, in terms of
water culture,
surface. Yeah. And it should suffice to help you with you. So hopefully when you have a good impervious layer below, because otherwise if you have to waterproof the thing, it becomes also... how to say, we have the problems of matrimandir. But these are all possibilities that we look forward. So now the, let's say, CSR is also running a water management project for DST that is headed by Giulio, and it's in the residential zone and trying to figure out what is the actual rainfall and how we can make use of it. Mm-hmm. So this is the scope of their project, and they're working on it already, but it needs a lot of mapping, a lot of other activities. And
but Julia is intensively working on that last, I think, about four or five years, no?
No.
This is a pilot project. It's different
than
the other mapping he's been doing. In addition, it's additional to what he's been doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But he's really aware of what we have, you know. At least when you have, you know, okay, that is the ground we have, the water is can stay in there or it can percolate. It's, he already has an awareness of what we are, standing, no?
No, he has also the fact that he's a geologist and that he's very familiar with what's happening down below. When we are still discovering, you know, sometimes once. I asked him, actually, it's something that we have to organize, if he could give again the lecture he gave some years, 2 years ago, I think, about the origin of the geology of Auroville. Mm-hmm. But we are talking of million years ago, because it was so, it gave such an understanding that I told him we have, because people keep asking about this aquifer, this and that. And if you listen to his presentation, so he said he would be doing it. And so something that we have to organize soon before the big migrations of the summer.
We should do it in March for Water Month. We should meet. Yeah, sparks a good idea.
It's a Water Month, so
we can talk about it. It's a good
Julio's
idea.
Julio's lecture on... Where do we stand on?
We check with Giulio first, but yeah.
He was positive.
Propose
on that,
maybe a series of lectures or something that we could do each week or something for the month of March. Might be an idea for outreach.
Well, let's say at least four now.
Yeah, I mean, let's see. We could think about that. I think it's a nice idea.
Thank you both so much. Let's hope that although the monsoon is officially over, but we can still hope that maybe it will fall more rain next few days.
We still have the potential to pray. No, even though there are, this morning the satellite image shows some clouds east, southeast, but quite far from us.
Okay.
I mean, there was this depression that went through the Andamans, but then went to Thailand. I mean, then what do we do with these kind of guys? You know why? They don't want to come to
see us. Cyclone, don't listen
we
to
need
us.
To be more no, open to their...
we have to be more friendly to depressions and cyclones.
I heard a few years back that the group of our villains is actually meditate on cyclone not to land on us. I mean...
Not to land.
Yeah, so it's like when the thing is coming our way, maybe people are pushing
it
off.
Yeah, I think we are a bit traumatized by what happened with the Thane cyclone.
Yeah, but it was really
I think it's still very much in the atmosphere, and people have to understand that before reaching a cyclone of the size of Thane that occurs once in a while, I mean, you have a lot of variation, lesser guys, I mean, lesser grades, but that can still give quite a lot of water, you know.
Yeah, but with those Android phones and we all have this wind app, you know, you can see honestly, the cyclone is coming and everything's okay, it's a cyclone of this. Instead of inviting the cyclone to give us at least a bit of rain, it's always traveling somewhere, no?
You have to look at the pressure. And you see where is the high pressure, where is the low pressure. And then for example, these days we are at night, we are like 17 degrees roughly, no? And it's very cool. I mean, everybody can finally get out his nice jacket
and boots, no?
I have a blanket.
I mean, otherwise
we are deprived for the seasonal changes in fashion.
It's amazing, though. It's been really, I feel it's been very cool, no? All through, no, like, even starting in November, it's been lovely anyway for them.
No, it's nice.
It's been a very
That's why I came with only a t-shirt, because I want to enjoy that cold, because my body needs it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, my thermoregulator will go off, you know.
And the brain's got cooked, huh?
Yeah.
Then if you have another side effect of the hot summers with some people going off. Anyhow, it's getting late. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having us.
But we might meet again on different things, like integration of all this in the city context. I mean, more into, and that we will see with the rest of the team of the water group if maybe somebody else can speak of that. Or
we really appreciate Orville Radio hosting us and letting us speak from the water group. We really appreciate it.
You're always welcome.
It's great. Thank you.